got to be slow, and perhaps some of us a little bit disappointed.
Well, certainly it's slow, and I'm sure it's disappointing, but we should not underestimate the difficulty. We who are trying to build a party shouldn't try to underestimate the difficulties of building another party. You don't create a party in a few months, not even from August to January. It takes time to gather together the cadres, to hammer out the program, to bring together the people who will put flesh on the skeleton. And it is clear that in its first stages, the Freedom Now Party pioneers must spread the idea. We can't expect that it's going to spring up full-blown. It's necessary to spread the idea, which has been pretty well suppressed, isn't given publicity in the capitalist press, and usually unfavorable publicity in the Negro press. It's been slandered, but the supporters of it have had very little opportunity to break through. This is going to be a long and difficult process. It's not going to happen all at once. And if there were some illusions about this, either by the members of the Freedom Now Party or by their white sympathizers, then they should begin to be dispelled now. The main job of the Freedom Now Party appears to be the spreading of propaganda. If it's able to get on a ballot here or there, that will be a good thing. But it would be expecting the impossible to have a party faced with so many odds and enemies to run a national campaign less than 1 year after it was announced.
Didn't have the punch behind them that the rent strikes had, partly because the rent strikes strike at the profits of the landlords, and that this effective tool in the Negro struggle was one that, because it was anti-capitalist in nature, because it struck the landlords' profits, that it had a logic of development that it would spread, that other minorities and other oppressed sections besides the Negroes would take up this particular form of struggle, and that we project in a way the development of the Freedom Now Party as a attacking the monopoly of politics by the capitalists, as providing another example that the workers can follow, and that this struggle, this means of struggle in the political realm, has a logic of its own that will spread. But what about the struggle for jobs? How do we conduct the struggle for jobs so that it will have a logic that will be anti-capitalist and spread to the other sections? What I'm thinking of particularly is, how do we prevent some kind of the capitalists from being able to use white against black and stymieing this struggle?
Well, we will not be able to prevent that completely. There will be black workers pitted against white, and there will be a lot of conflict and people hurt. The program for jobs of the Negro struggle still remains to be written. There are various approaches being taken to it. The Negro movement as a whole hasn't decided on which they should be. The fight at construction jobs last summer was one beginning of the attempt at what I called social dislocation. That is, an effort by Negroes to shut down jobs until Negroes could be employed on them in equality or in some rough proportion to their numbers. The idea being that if they were able to shut down the jobs, they would create ferment inside the white community and bring about a struggle between whites and whites, and that those who had been deprived of their jobs would be under pressure then to reopen the jobs and to make concessions to the Negroes. Nobody has the final answer to this. We attempted in our convention resolution to indicate some of the lines along which the fight could be conducted most profitably for both Negro and white workers. We raised the idea that the slogan, a 30-hour week for 40 hours pay, is one that should be raised not only by the labor movement, but should be raised by the independent Negro movement. That in the fight, in their fight for jobs, they should demand the 30-hour week. This is the kind of demand which would be entirely in their own interest, and yet at the same time would make an approach to the interests of the white workers, who, even if they were not fighting for the 30-hour week at this time, could understand that this was something in their interest too. The job of the future is to work out a full program of action along these lines. And this is something that the Negro movement will probably have to supply. Muslims are primarily a propaganda group, and their propaganda is very good and very effective on the whole, and it has had very positive effects on the rest of the Negro movement. It has pushed the whole Negro movement to the left. But so far, the Muslim movement remains predominantly a propaganda movement. That is, it does not engage in day-to-day struggles. It does not have a program of action for today. It has an ultimate goal of separation, a separate nation, and so on. But it does not do things like conducting rent strikes, although it is situated in the heart of the ghetto and would be in a very effective position to lead excellent rent strikes. But they don't do that kind of thing. They have a problem on whether or not they are going to pass from what we call a propaganda group to a group of mass action. And they are mulling this over. There is evidence that among them there are differences of opinion as to whether to take this next logical step. Now, I didn't attend that meeting at which Malcolm X spoke in Detroit, but I heard about it. One of the things that Malcolm X seemed to be doing there when he spoke was to give wholehearted endorsement to the idea of a Freedom Now party. But although he gave that appearance there, the sad truth is that the Muslims have not yet come out really in favor of the Freedom Now party. They talk about the need for all-black action and an all-black party, but this particular all-black party they have not yet decided to support. And the evidence of that is if there's anyone who doubts it, as some might doubt it if they heard that speech, the evidence is that in Michigan, the members of the Freedom Now Party are going around with petitions and trying to place a ticket on the ballot for the 1964 election. But the black Muslims are not signing these petitions, nor are they circulating them. In other words, they still remain a propaganda group, and therefore are as yet unable to play the full role that they could if they were able to make this transition to another kind of organization.
In reference to your concept of the vanguard leadership of the proletarian, you gave the analogy of Russia. I would like to ask the question in reference to China and ask you what the lessons are to be learned from the Trotskyist failure in the large industrial centers, such as Shanghai, to develop the peasantry as well, when the Communist Party made their greatest gains, and that's getting into the real revolutionary vanguard. What are the lessons to be learned from this?
Well, I would undertake to discuss those lessons on another occasion when that subject is up for discussion. I'm not at all eager to do it now. The Trotskyists were crushed in China before the revolution by the Chiang Kai-shek dictatorship. Its entire leadership was arrested and executed, and only a small number of them were able to make their way to exile. I don't mean by this to say that they didn't make any mistakes in their evaluations of the situation there, but it's too complex a subject and too remote from the topic we're discussing now for me to go into it any further here.
Man of the band.
Does not give a misconception, does not mean that it's weak, something to be ashamed of, something to disassociate yourself from, something to forget about, to forget your identity. Does not tell us that since we are minority, that we are not creative, that we are not productive, that the Negro people cannot make love and majority, you know. I don't think that Negro people have become radical from this point of view. I think they realize that they are not minority, that they are the largest minority. I don't think we at this period can let anyone come into our community send to us or even have the attitude of saying, well, forget about the past, forget about the history, come to the side where it's been most protected and so forth, and the problems they are that will solve. This concept, I think, he's rented to the pseudo-liberalism or this sort of great process to the Negro people begin to see that they do have a faulty history, that one of the reasons why they have survived to this day, along with capitalists, that they have been very energetic, have maintained their identity, that they have struggled with physical health. And also, in this order, they have linked themselves with the majorities of the world.
Yes, well, I don't disagree with most of what was said. I did not think I gave any impression that the Negroes were not creative, that they did not have a history, that they had not made contributions. The term minority, as I used it, was strictly a numerical designation. That is, that although the Negroes are the biggest single minority in the country, they are still a minority of the population of this country. They're part of a majority of the world, but in national terms, numerically, they are a minority. And if I was saying anything at all, I was saying that's nothing to be ashamed of, but on the contrary, it's something that can be the product of great progress, both for them and for the white working class. Yes, I think that there may be another party. That will depend largely on whether or not the present Freedom Now Party is able to build itself into an effective, large organization. If the Freedom Now Party, this present attempt by these present leaders, is not successful, if they are not able to gather around enough forces to make it an effective political instrument, if they're not able to get the Freedom Now Party off the ground, then in all probability the Freedom Now Party will fade away and we will see other attempts at independent black political action. I am sure that if this attempt to build a Freedom Now Party fails, that there will be other and more successful attempts. Whether Martin Luther King would want to be associated with any Negro party, I very much doubt, unless something radical occurs to his thinking, because he's opposed to the idea as such of a separate party made up of Negroes. The Muslims, I don't know whether they may not yet come out in favor of the present Freedom Now Party. They are not opposed to it in principle. They have to make the decision for themselves as to what kind of role they want to play in this country. If they decide that they want to engage in immediate struggles, in day-to-day struggles, they may very well decide to go into the Freedom Now Party and to give their very excellent energies and forces to it. But that's something that we can only speculate about because they haven't made a decision yet themselves.
What do you think of the highest point of the 1963
Freedom Now Party? Well, there were many, and I'm sure that we would not all agree on which were the most important. I myself think that the two high points of the year 1963 were, one, the way in which the masses of poor Negroes poured out into the streets the night that the home of a Negro bourgeois figure, I think his name is Arthur Shores, the night his home was bombed during the early stage of the Birmingham events, poured out into the streets and attacked the cops and the troops. I think that this was a demonstration on the part of the Birmingham ghetto that the masses of the people have a different outlook and are prepared to use different methods than those of the present pacifist leadership of the Negro struggle, or the then struggle in Birmingham. The other highlight of the year, as far as I'm concerned, was the beginning of the picketing at the school construction site in Philadelphia in May, because this represented the beginning of the new stage of the struggle in the North, just as the other earlier event represented the beginning of the entry of the masses into the Southern struggle. I feel that these were the two most important developments, more important than the March on Washington, which was bigger and involved more people. I think symptomatically these were the most important things. And I think that Kennedy felt that way too, because it was right after the Philadelphia construction site picketing began that he changed his tactical line and immediately declared for the first time in history that the Negro struggle was a moral struggle, and introduced bills into Congress. That shook them up very much, because they could see that the struggle was passing over from one where the center was the South to the North, and that immediately it began to hit at the crucial question of jobs. And those are two out of many important things that happened during the year that I would center out.
Due largely to the educational work of the Social Workers Party, documents such as your articles in the Militant and documents that were adopted at the party convention, Freedom Now document, there are probably as many white revolutionary socialists and adherents who are in favor of the Freedom Now Party as there are Negro. And who are very enthusiastic about the building of such a party. However, the building of this party is the work of the Negro leadership of that party, and the Negro adherence of it. Is there any, do you see any dangers of white socialists substituting themselves in this work, and if they're not careful of certain considerations, can you comment on that?
No, I don't see many dangers of that because of the wise provisions that the founders of the Freedom Now Party have taken that its membership should be all black. When the Freedom Now Party is really organized in a solid way, and has formed its ideas and shaped its cadres, worked out its platform, and so on, I am sure that they will welcome the help of sympathetic whites. But in the meantime, I concur with them in feeling that if the Freedom Now Party is to have the trust of the Negro man and woman in the street, it must be founded on the basis of all black leadership and all black control.
It seems like in the past couple of years, your formulations on the Negro question have become consistently more radical.
Thank you.
Comment on this perhaps is a mistake.